I think that subscribing to something like this is a fantastic way to learn. And I think that any way that you can continue to read research, like there's no way that I would read or really pick apart 12 studies every month. I might skim through 10 or 12, but it might be three in one night where I'm just skimming. And so subscribing to something like this is the best way if you really care about research and being the best provider possible.
No stranger to the show, Teddy Willsley comes back on the program to talk about some more research. Teddy is a sports medicine focused PT and a private practice owner in Rockville, Maryland. Plus, he loves research, breaking down articles for Physio Network. You can find him online at physio-network.com. We delve into even more research with this episode. Break it down so you can actually use it for stuff. First round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs who want to get certified in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours, the Halloween edition. We're getting scary with research here on the show. No stranger to the program as we slide him onto the screen, Teddy Willsley. Teddy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Jimmy.
Good to talk to you. Welcome back to the program. Teddy, been on the show multiple times before. You can find him online at Strength Coach Therapy. That's on the Insta. Halloween edition. Getting scary with some research. We talked to you not long ago, and you're working with Physio Network. And talk about that real briefly in case people don't remember from the last episode.
Yeah, Physio Network was started by a group of PTs, and what they're doing is just reviewing 12 articles every month. They have an audio format for it too, so you can just listen to it on your ride to work. And it's just an awesome way to quickly stay up to date with research. We try to use articles that are all less than 2 years old, ideally. Usually try to get a handful within the past month.
So essentially everybody says, when I get out of PT school, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to stay up to date on the current research because that's what my professors told me. And then life hits you. So it's not necessarily desire. It's more like, you know, delivery method. Can someone break it down for me? Because as we know, I mean, I had Chad Cook on the show not long ago. He literally submitted an article to an on-purpose predatory journal, and he got, and I'm pretty sure the result was, and I hope I'm not misquoting because it's such serious research, spinal manipulation can actually bring people back from the dead. Very, very poignant to say on Halloween. But the point is, there's so much research out there. So you guys, and I say you guys because there's a team of you doing reviewing research in all different aspects of physical therapy, not just orthopedics, not just any section. And you guys say, okay, we're cherry picking. This is some good stuff from some good sources. Like today's article we're going to look at is from BJSM. So obviously, you know, credible sources, and we're just going to break it down for you. And that's what you guys do. So bringing you on the show to give a highlight of that. Before we go any further, people can find Physio Network. What is the website?
Oh, Jimmy, that is a good question.
Physio-network.com.
See, you know it. You know it.
We call that a toss. It's the hyphen that does throw it off. That's why
I didn't know. I was worried it might be .net or all right. So we're good.
Yeah. All right. So what are we looking at today, Teddy? Which article did you take a look at most recently?
So this was an article that just came out last month, and the title of it is a mouthful. Okay. It's Strength Training as Superior, Dose-Dependent, and Safe Prevention of Acute and Overuse Sports Injuries.
Whoa.
It's a systematic review, qualitative analysis, and meta-analysis.
Okay, so that's a lot of analyses.
It is.
And people can find it in the journal, and what's the release date?
It's in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, and the release date, it was accepted on July 23rd, 2018, and it was in the most recent publication, which I believe was in October.
Yes, sounds good. All right, so we've got all that out of the way. Well, let's give a shout out to the authors. They're doing the hard work. So who worked on this paper? Who can we say thanks to?
So I don't want to mispronounce his name too bad here, but Jep Bo Larson and Thor Anai Anderson, and then Lars Bo Anderson.
I like any paper that has anybody with the name Thor in it. Mm-hmm. I take that very, very seriously. Okay, so overall, overarching, we got all the details out of the way. Let's go big and wide. What are they looking at? Because the name of that study is really, really large. What are they looking at in Teddy's words?
So what we're looking at here is going back to the title, strength training as a way to prevent acute and overuse injuries. And what they wanted to understand was the dose-dependent aspect of it. Because we know that strength training is cool. We know it helps us. But what are we going to do? 2 sets of 8? 3 sets of 15? Are we going to do that twice a week? Are we going to do that every day? And so what they tried to bring into this was kind of the dosage of it. And then they also, you know, they ended up looking at 6 different studies. So we want to find out within those studies what body parts we're looking at, what muscles we're talking about. Are we talking about ankle injuries? Are we talking about hamstring pulls, etc.? And for this study, what we're primarily looking at is soft tissue injuries. That was what they found the most data on. They ended up looking at 6 studies with a total of 7,739 participants. And what we really found was that with a longer term approach to soft tissue training, so strengthening your hamstrings, strengthening your adductors, strengthening your calves, that sort of thing, we can prevent and reduce, or rather reduce the likelihood of, because that's a more appropriate way to frame this, we can reduce the likelihood of hamstring injuries, groin injuries, calf Achilles injuries, etc.
Gotcha. Okay. So you mentioned the N, and what was that one more time? That's a decent size, right?
Yeah. It was approximately 7,700 participants.
Okay. Overall. And we know what they're looking at. How'd they do it? What were their methods, and how'd they get into it?
Well, so this is a systematic review. And so with any systematic review, what they're going to do is they're going to dig into the research with different words that they want to plug into their search engines and find the articles that can apply to what they're looking for. And so then they start to dig in. They ended up finding over 100 articles, but then they narrowed it down to 6. And what they do is they have inclusion. We call this inclusion and exclusion criteria. And so, for example, one of the inclusion criteria here was they wanted to work with younger athletes. So instead of, we know the strength training is fantastic for older adults, for our aging population. But for this particular paper, we looked at participants aged 12 to 40. So that was one of the inclusion criteria. So already cross off a big portion of the research out there. Another inclusion criteria was that all of these studies needed to be randomized control trials, right? So we're not just having a case study, a case series. We're not just having one team that everybody does the same intervention. And one thing we find, especially with injury prevention or reduction, is that controlled studies are really hard to find, because what are you going to tell your team? Hey, half of you are going to do this prevention thing, but the other half of you, you're screwed.
No good. Right.
Yeah. And so it's hard, like just from a feasibility and like practical standpoint, to really run those studies. So they found a bunch of studies that did that as well, which narrowed down to 6. One interesting thing is, so shout out to the primary researcher here, Jet Bo Larson. 2 of the studies of the 6 were actually from his own research. And he has done a lot of really good research on strength training and helped us to further understand its effect on soft tissue injuries and the prevention of injuries.
So with something like that, is that always a good thing? Or like if they're studying their own research, does that lead to bias that? Like, is that good or bad? Or I mean,
well, I'm glad you asked that, because, you know, one of the things that I really do with the Physio Network is I tear apart these papers in the limitations section. I think I teach what the papers are conveying. However, I put it in a lens where we say, okay, this is fantastic, but what else do we want to know? What else do we want to find out? And where are the limitations or the shortcomings? And just like you pointed out, Jimmy, it is kind of a shortcoming that you use that two of the 6 papers are yours.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, at least they disclosed that and we know that. So they're putting that out there. And as we say, a good consumer of research, you should have picked up on that. It also could just be this guy is out there. That's his jam, right? Like that's what he wants to get into. So he happens to be 1/3 of, you know, the papers on this specific topic,
which we find a lot, especially in, for me, I am biased towards strength training. I work with athletes. And so this is kind of a newer thing. You know, there's not a lot of good research on this from more than 10 years ago. Okay. So there's a few people out there that are like, they're really pushing this forward and they're going to be citing their own stuff.
Okay. So, all right. So what did they find out? Now we know how they did it and how the systematic review operated. Mm-hmm. We narrowed it down to 6 studies. What did they find out when they started looking at that?
So 3 of the studies, and this is another kind of limitation of the paper, although it does help us to understand hamstring injuries. 3 of the studies were on hamstring injuries. And what we found out was that when we have a concentrated approach in improving the hamstring strength of our athletes, it reduces the likelihood of them pulling their hamstrings. Makes sense, right?
Sure.
Pulling your hamstring is typically a result of an insufficient muscular strength, and it happens oftentimes during high-speed gait or running. And we find that if we increase the hamstring strength at greater lengths, so one of the common exercises that Nordic hamstring curl that we see, it's really easy to implement with zero equipment. All you need is two athletes on the field and they can do it. We find that that helps to improve the likelihood of injury. So that was three of the papers. Now, we also looked at ACL injuries. And this is something that Jimmy, you and I talked about last time,
yep,
the effect of strength training on ACLs. And so for this, I kind of felt like that was low-hanging fruit because I'm like, dude, we already know. We already know that ACLs can really be assisted by strength training. However, one interesting thing about this systematic review was that they didn't want to get into the proprioceptive training, the plyometrics, the other pieces. Whereas we know that with the ACL training, there's kind of this three-pronged approach where we look at strength training, we look at proprioceptive landing mechanics, and we also look at just general kind of fatigue, that sort of thing, right? And so in improving the local fatigue or the local endurance of the muscles. So we already kind of understood the hamstring thing. We already understood the ACL thing. Another interesting paper that they looked at was patellofemoral pain for people that were in the military, right? That's a population where they don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of what they're doing.
Sure.
They're not a tactical athlete is an athlete by any measure, and they're doing things that are asked of them when it might not always make sense for them to do it. And we looked at, can we improve the strength of the quadriceps and make that knee more resilient through our basic lunges, modified pistol squats, that sort of stuff. And I thought that was a pretty good one, but just because of sometimes we think the whole, like the knees over toes, that's something I talk about a lot in my like blogosphere and Instagram and that sort of thing. We know that knees over toes, you do it too much, it might piss your knee off. But if you do it just the right amount, and that's where the whole dosage comes in, and that's the tricky part, then your knee's going to be stronger and better off for it. So this paper kind of confirmed that bias for me.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with the APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right. There's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
The show is brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Aureus, and I do on the show because they've supported us from the start. But what Aureus does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything, all right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients where you want to do it, and get paid for it. Aureus is just the person to make that happen. AureusMedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Paid travel and housing. Benefits go with it. Again, positions in all 50 states. A variety of settings. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments. Even Con Ed money. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country, getting paid to be a PT. AureusMedical.com.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
Anything else fun or interesting you didn't expect going in, or once you started digging in that you found? Every once in a while we find nuggets inside of studies.
One thing I liked about this paper is they talked about the proposed mechanisms of injury prevention. Because, yeah, it can kind of be common sense. You could ask a 12-year-old, hey, what does strength training do? It gets you stronger. Right. But we talked about, okay, so it's gradual tissue conditioning, strengthening failure thresholds, and sufficient technique and physiological preparedness. So we look at what's happening with the tissue beyond within that strengthening. And that's also a point of further research that we want to talk about as well.
Yeah, that was going to be one of our next questions. Mm-hmm. But let's go with this. You know, the big take home, why is someone paying attention, why is someone watching this, is what can clinicians do with this with patients tomorrow? What does this mean? How is this applicable, you know, on Monday morning?
So that's a good question. One of the things I look at a lot with my physio network papers is prevention and strength training. And for a lot of physios, I think that they don't necessarily appreciate that that's part of their job. We think, oh, get the person out of pain and then they're good to go, right? That's, you know, return to prior level of function.
Sure.
But with athletes and with active population, we want to make them harder to break. That's a term that I like to use a lot in terms of building resiliency. And so what a physio can take away from this is the importance of strength training in those latter parts of rehab and reintroduction to sport. So the end of a hamstring rehab should not simply be manual therapy and light cardio until it doesn't hurt anymore. It needs to be pushing and testing that hamstring from a strengthening aspect so that it's ready to get back on the field and not that person's not going to be back in your office in 3 weeks.
Love that. All right. That's good. Again, the study was found in BJSM in the latest mm-hmm. edition, and it's got the longest title ever. Strength Training as Superior, Dose-Dependent and Safe Prevention of Acute and Overuse Sports Injuries, a Systematic Review, Qualitative Analysis, and Meta-Analysis, and the most recent BJSM release. Anything else that you think this will lead to in terms of future research? Things that this, I'm guessing someone named Thor will also be involved with this.
Sure. I think that there's always room for more research in terms of understanding the volume and the, like the stuff I mentioned at the very beginning, the sets, the reps, the number of days per week. One thing that was interesting in this study that they found when they looked at all six of them across and kind of compiled all that data together was that a 10% increase in volume, so they counted this as total reps completed, mm-hmm. resulted in a 4.3% relative risk reduction. So what they found was they did not hit the ceiling yet of overall volume. Because we know that with strength training, you do too much, it's not going to be good. You got to find that right dosage, just like any medication or any intervention. So there's that aspect of it. We want to find out a little more. Like, it would be awesome to see some studies where, you know, maybe just one group did like twice as much as the other one, or we start to tease that out a little bit.
There's a great compromise. You know, you don't want to leave someone out of a prevention program, but if one did more and one did X and one did 2X, that could make up for it.
Absolutely. So it'd be nice to see some of that. You know, there's an interesting thing where they're starting to take some of these strength training prevention programs into the season, and they're actually more effective. Whereas we used to think, and I remember when I was in high school, we used to think this too. Once you get into the season, you're done with your strength training. Now we're starting, strength and conditioning coaches and sports medicine staffs are starting to appreciate, maybe you cut the volume by 2/3, but you still do something. So there's some cool stuff here, and we want to just continue to tease out the variables and figure out within reason what the optimal dosage is.
Okay. We do want to let people know that you can drop a comment in as we're recording this live or afterwards, and we can get to it. We've got a comment right here. We'll throw it on the screen. I think I know this guy, Matt McKay. That's my brother. He liked the point that you brought up about military and or first responders who might not be ready at the exact time that they're needed to be used. And we had this conversation with Rich Westrick before several times in the show in terms of the creation of the tactical athlete SIG. That question, should we call them athletes? And I'd say the advantage of an athlete, the example that was used, if I train for a triathlon, I know months out when I'm going to have to race, and then between now and then, I know several things, maybe some warm-up races or training schedules. Whereas the tactical athlete, police, fire, military, EMT, corrections officers, they need to be ready at a moment's notice. There's no warm-up if you're a corrections officer mm-hmm. and alarm bells start ringing. You just go. But you might have been sitting there for 8 or 9 hours. So those individuals should be treated as such in terms of athletes. And it makes it even more important because that's their livelihood.
Absolutely. And it's even more reason why they should value the training and staying in shape aspect of it, of their job, because it allows them to do their job at a higher level.
Yeah. Adam Meekins also chiming in. I know he has some thoughts about tactical athletes. He says he loves that term. And, I don't want to put any words in Adam's mouth, but we always know you can't go wrong getting strong, really, no matter what you're doing.
Hey,
if you're carrying groceries.
A dear friend of the show.
So again, that the study we were just taking a look at, you might need to do some tongue exercises just to say it all. Strength training as superior dose dependent and safe prevention of acute and overuse sports injuries, a systematic review, qualitative analysis, and meta-analysis, again, available from BJSM, the most recent edition. You can find out more about this research stuff and breaking it down on physio-network.com, where it's Teddy and a team of other professionals breaking down some of that research. And also on the Instagram at Strength Coach Therapy is where you can find Teddy.
This is The Parting Shot.
Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offers continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding student internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what the IHL can do for you and support your professional development. Go to brooksihl.org.
Teddy, any parting words of wisdom for people who are trying to sift their way through research and working in the clinic full time?
I think that subscribing to something like this is a fantastic way to learn. Just to pub another one, I used to subscribe to the Chris Beardsley's the Strength and Conditioning Research Review back in the day before I was even in physical therapy school. So we're talking 8-9 years ago. And I think that any way that you can continue to read research, like there's no way that I would read or really pick apart 12 studies every month.
I might
skim through 10 or 12, but it might be 3 in one night where I'm just skimming, like honestly. And so subscribing to something like this is the best way if you really care about research and being the best provider possible.
Yeah. And then once I found out what you guys were doing, I was like, listen, let's get Teddy to jump on the show once a month-ish and we'll talk about whatever things you're looking at. We'll get some other people from Physio Network to talk about it as well. So we don't necessarily have to always just do orthopedics and sports. We can go into the other facets as well. Teddy, appreciate your time on this Halloween. Physio-network.com is where you can find more. Teddy, appreciate your time, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jimmy.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to,
period.
Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.